Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups.
Ken, I'm happy to have you on here today because I know that you're going to be the perfect person for this. But for our listeners that don't know who you are, can you tell our listeners who you are and what Script to Screen does and your role there, please?
Sure, Samuel, thank you very much for having me. So Script to Screen is a direct-to-consumer advertising and marketing agency in Los Angeles, California. And what we do is we work with small companies, startups, medium-sized companies, all the way to the biggest brands in the world. And what we do is we create direct-to-consumer channels of revenue for these businesses. And we've been doing it for over 30 years. We've generated over $7.5 billion in sales for our clients. And, you know, as we all know, things have shifted from all forms of media and how we get our media and entertainment information. And we've adapted as a company. And so, and my role here is I'm a co-founder, and my wife and I started this business over 30 years ago. We have a staff of about 20 people, and we are, strategy creators, campaign executors, media buyers, and digital and social executors as well.
Awesome. Well, I can imagine 2020 was an interesting year for you, an exciting year for you. And we're going to get into that on this episode because today we will be discussing how customers' attitudes have changed since the start of the pandemic and why webinars and online conferences have become so important in this change. Before we get into this, can you first explain why business would want to conduct a webinar or online conference and what are the benefits?
Well, the first reason why businesses want to create webinars and do online conferences, first of all, we do that as a business as well. So I'm not talking about my opinion or my theory. We actually do it every month for our clients. And what we do, and it's not necessarily for our clients, Samuel, it's really about, it's about getting in touch with your customers. Because we are in such a unique situation in 2020, and it looks like it's going to continue through 2021, and who knows how much further along. You know, the best opportunity to get in front of a potential customer or even your staff is through an online conference or specifically an online webinar, because you can educate. That's the biggest thing you can do with a webinar and a conference, is you can educate potential customers or staff, things that the business is doing, and things that your company offers that may be beneficial to other businesses. And you have that undivided attention. If you think about a webinar is you opt into it. You're making a decision to get into it. So therefore, you're allocating, you're putting time set aside to pay attention to what's happening. And that's a huge, huge differentiator. And that's something to really pay attention to, because when people are putting their time aside because they want to learn something they don't know, or they want to get more information about something that they don't know enough about, and they're allocating their time, it's a wonderful way to do it with a webinar. And that's why they're catching on, because people aren't obviously in the offices and people aren't having that face-to-face contact, but you still have to have that communication time, and it's uninterrupted. And that's a huge, huge benefit. And that's why businesses should consider using them, because you have that one-on-one contact. It's just a different way, but you have that uninterrupted time.
I like that uninterrupted time. And I have to say, one thing that I've noticed since the start of the pandemic is it's become more like geographically inclusive. So for example, I am based in Colombia, and if there's a conference that I like in the US or the UK or Canada, wherever, I've got to get on a long flight to get there. But now no one can meet up, so everything's virtual. So now it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can tap into this knowledge in these forums. And that has been a real benefit for me. So I think that you're connecting with a global audience there with that.
Oh, totally. Global audience. I mean, there's no boundaries anymore. There really isn't. And it's totally acceptable, right? It's very acceptable for me to invite you to a webinar in Colombia or somebody in England or somebody in Sweden. And we're all talking, now there may be different time zones, but the point of the matter is, it's totally acceptable. Here I am in my t-shirt in Los Angeles, and that's okay, because what I'm saying is hopefully adding value to your audience. So these myths, these ideas that we have in our mind about you have to be certain places is not that anymore. Although those are nice, and I think as humans, we have to have an interconnection, but for the immediate future, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely positives and negatives. I mean, the positive is, yeah, you have that connection. I think networking can run a lot far more easily when you're in person. However, the positives for virtual conferences, as you mentioned, you can rock up in your pajamas and you're perfectly comfortable. So, there's ups and downs.
And it also puts every business on a level playing field. I think this is really important. I don't care if you're an entrepreneur or a 3 or 4 person operation, or a mega organization. Cost is no longer the issue of why you can't be somewhere to get great information. Cost is no longer the issue. So everyone's on an even playing field. So that's another huge benefit.
Yeah, it's more accessible for all businesses. Yes. I can see that, So. I'd love to know, though, from the customer perspective, what changes have we seen in attendance of webinars and online conferences since the start of the pandemic?
Well, significantly. I mean, I don't know about yourself, but there isn't a global brand that I'm working with that we are not having some type of online conference of some sort, whether it's with a team or whether it's a conference to, you know, that like an industry conference. I think the biggest difference is before the pandemic, we would look at online communication as a 15 to 20 minute commitment. Now you're seeing things that are an hour, 2 hours, you know, webinars that are an hour. We consistently do an hour webinar once a month. That's one of the things that's really, really changed is the time commitment. And, you know, the biggest thing is outside of the time commitment, that's totally changed is that, you know, businesses are using them to educate their employees, where if you think about it, to get a big employee, gathering, if you will, in your global company, that's a big deal. So that's changing, where they're having more of these employee gatherings. And the other part of it is now you have business leaders, not just the business leader says down to the executive or the vice president or the executive, whatever, go find this out and report to me. Now you're having CEOs, you're having founders, you're having real business leaders and decision makers be part of these webinars because they're scheduling them into their day. Those three things are huge, is a huge difference in what this communication has really accelerated for the business world in 2021. And I think it's going to continue.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised even post pandemic if we take these lessons and continue to incorporate them in our everyday normal lives.
Absolutely. And you know, what's interesting is, and where's it going to go? That's the big thing. This is something I really am excited about, and I can totally see this happening. So let's say we're going to have an advertising direct-to-consumer conference. So we usually have it in New York. And well, New York shut down. You know, people come from all over the country. Other, you know, people have flight restrictions. So all that has kind of been, you know, mucked up. Soon, this is what's going to happen, I totally believe. You're going to be able to watch a webinar on your desktop, and there's going to be a hologram of the person delivering the conference. And people around the world are going to be able to watch this hologram on their desktop, and they're going to be able to do presentations. And but you see that person, that I believe that's going to happen in the next 10 years, if not sooner. And that's when it gets crazy.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that. That's some Star Wars level technology there.
Right?
And that
right?
is
like
going to
be
cool.
The Matrix is happening right there on your on your desktop.
Yeah.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
I also host another podcast called Brains Bite Back, which is a podcast focusing on psychology and technology. And one of the technologies that we look at and have looked at on a number of episodes is virtual reality. And I think that that will probably be the in-between point between what you're speaking about, because I think that even if what you're talking about is achieved within the next 10 years, I'd say within the next 5 years or so, you'd be able to put on a headset and feel like you're actually within a hall. You're actually maybe like meters in front of the person, and you can just look around and whatever. So that I think is going to be really cool as well.
You know, in a way that's kind of happening now, and it goes to one of your questions that I'm sure you'll get to, but you know, what's different is people are making big productions out of these. A lot of times somebody's talking now in a presentation or a webinar or a conference, and they're shot on a green screen and they're put anywhere within the world and they have multiple cameras. And it's, you know, what I call the production level is really picking up. Mm. So, you know, that is going to change, and it's already happening. And I think that's the first steps to what you and I are talking about, to this virtual reality hologram possibility.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun future.
Yeah,
and for the business, and from the business perspective, what type of webinars and conferences have you witnessed that have proven to be very successful that you would advocate businesses try out?
Yeah, I think the biggest ones are coaching webinars. That has really caught on. There's a very good friend of mine in the United States. He's the number one coaching person, if you will, in the industry. His name is Tom Ferry. He puts on these mega coaching events, and he literally gets in a room. He has multiple cameras. He has, you know, everybody on their Zoom screens, but you see this big virtual stadium. And so the coaching webinars have really taken off, and people are doing a fantastic job at that. And the other one are consumer experience webinars. And I've seen this happen, Samuel, and this is really, really interesting. And it is about inviting your customers to be part of a webinar to talk about what they like about the product, why or service, suggestions they may have. And you have this open forum that companies are doing, and you're getting that immediate feedback from your customers. How precious is that? So those are the two areas that I've seen people taking webinars and conferences and just crushing it. And that's big coaching webinars and consumer experience webinars.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely think coaching webinars are a fantastic forum or opportunity for webinars to be so, I suppose, such a value add in a person's life, because it's almost like any school or university, but it's completely accessible anywhere nowadays.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's fantastic for education.
You know, it's kind of the precursor to online learning in the United States is a huge thing, meaning you can get an online degree at any university in the world online. So it's a big thing, and that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So what you're talking about is exactly, it started in education. It's just continuing through coaching and all those types of things where everybody's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, finally, you've given some really great nuggets of information throughout this call, but as a final note, I would love to know what advice you have for anyone interested in launching their own webinar or online conference.
So, you know, I thought about that, and I went back into what do we do, because we started doing that and we've learned a lot. And I can, what I'm going to say to your audience has been tested, and we've made the mistakes, and the mistakes we've made given us these three pieces of nuggets that hopefully your audience will glean from, because it's not theory, it's my opinion, it's actual tested facts at work. A lot of it is, you know, commonly said, but not commonly practiced. Now, I'm gonna say some things, you're gonna go, of course. Well, of course doesn't do it. You gotta do them. And the first one is, you have to know who your audience is. If you're gonna do a webinar, if you're gonna promote yourself, if you're gonna spend the time to do that, you have to know exactly who your audience is. Really, really important, because you could spend months putting together the best presentation and get a million people that don't care anything about what you're saying. I always say in our business, the riches are in the niches. If you can find the right niche of the audience you want to talk to, you may have five people that all convert versus a million people that don't care what you have to say. I'd rather have five. So know your audience, right? Is that business owners? Is it yoga instructors? Are they chief marketing officers? Who is it that you want to talk to? Secondly is, what are their pain points? What is the pain point, the problem? What is the thing that you're trying to solve with your webinar specifically to that audience? If you're just talking to somebody that says that is your audience is CMOs, that's fine. But what specifically is keeping that CMO up at night? What is the solution that you have to their problem that's keeping them up at night, that's keeping them from doing what they want to do? Because if you can address that, the chances of them attending your webinar are huge. And that may be, are CMOs looking for new revenue streams? Every chief marketing officer is looking to do that. Are businesses looking for more clients, looking for more customers? Of course they are. So what are the things that you can do that's gonna solve that problem for them? And another example would be, what happens with us is we know big businesses are looking for new marketing channels. And because they have to grow and scale, because the retail foundation of business has been fractured, as you know. The online business is taking off, but you have to, what I know from our avatar of an audience, who our audience is, I know that they're looking for new revenue channels. So I'm gonna talk specifically to that pain point to that audience. Secondly is, how are you gonna find them? Understand how you're going to find your audience before you start spending any time or any money or any effort in putting together a webinar. How am I going to find them? Am I going to find them on LinkedIn? Am I going to find them on Facebook? Am I going to find them on email? Where are you going to find these? And make sure you understand how you're going to find them. Because again, you can have the greatest information, but if you can't get in front of the person who needs to hear it, it doesn't do anybody any good. And then, and finally, number four is, when you spend time to put together a webinar and a conference, understand you're trying to do three things. And it's not the three things I just said, but it's three things. You're trying to engage somebody, you're trying to educate somebody, and you're trying to convert somebody. Engage, educate, convert. I want to say one thing about conversion. Don't make it all about you. Your information is for them, and then you're gonna ask them to do something. Because if you don't convert, all the time and energy you put into something doesn't do you any good. You gotta get them to do something. You gotta get them to buy your product, buy your service, be part of your course, whatever it is, you've gotta get them to the next place. But you're not gonna do that if you don't engage them. You're not going to do that if you don't educate them and give them a lot of valuable information that they want to do something that you want them to do. And then you have to make an effort to convert them.
Yeah, some good advice. And the one thing that I've taken away from that is the fact that webinars and podcasting isn't actually that different. Many of the points that you made there, especially know your audience and like know their pain points. There's a lot of overlaps. So I think that's really easy to relate to from my perspective.
Yeah.
And some really good points there.
And that's why I say, you know, they're commonly thought of, but not commonly practiced. Sometimes people think, well, this is something different, so I got to do something totally different. Not necessarily the truth. At the end of the day, we are business people. We are people. We need to be engaged. We need to have valuable information, and then we need to do something, right? It doesn't matter whether I'm going to the gas station or whether I'm watching a webinar or a podcast. It doesn't matter. You still have to do those three things. And that's what we built our business on for the last 30 years.
Well, if people do want to get in touch with you and your business or even follow you on social media, what are the best ways for them to do that?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, you can follow me on LinkedIn under Ken Kerry, KenKerry. On Instagram, it's Ken P. Kerry at .sts, Ken P. Kerry, STS on Instagram. And then scripttoscreen.com, scripttoscreen.com is our company. But I put out content every day on every single platform, and you'll see specifically webinars that I've done that I use as content that I create as valuable information for people who I'm looking to do business with. So that's how you can find me, and I appreciate you asking.
No worries. Happy to have you on, and thank you for sharing your knowledge today, Ken. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.